Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. It's the commandment that we receive from Jesus as he readies himself for his impending death. We are to live by this commandment that supersedes all else. Love one another. And in many ways, it just sounds so simple. But then there's that first part of the phrase where we're told to love like Jesus. And up in verse 1, we get that job description of this kind of love. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. In other words, love all of humankind as we try to live in relationship with one another in our shared humanity, in a world that is more concerned with greed, power, and endless indulgence. And love these people as fully as possible until your final breath. This is a huge assignment. And yet here we are. This is the one commandment for us individually and collectively as the body of Christ to follow above all else. Love one another. And I have to say that I am so grateful that when Jesus is washing Peter's feet, he says, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Because to take in love one another to the point of being in the very marrow of our bones, it's going to take time. And more than likely, it's going to take a lot of learning opportunities that we are going to fail at miserably, just like the disciples did. Over the past year, I have begun to understand love one another more deeply. And as a hospice chaplain, I have been given a front row seat to the unfolding of this Maundy Thursday commandment in the interactions of patients, caregivers, family members, and friends with one another and with me. And I have to say that they bear a resemblance to some of the interactions within the gospel reading. Like the disciples, love one another in the shared moment of rest and reflection after years of challenging, supporting, and offering healing and care to others. Like the disciples, love one another through the awkwardness of learning to be cared for and take care of others' bodies, even when it interrupts a meal. And like the disciples, love one another when denial of impending death is so compelling and questioning and denying our relationship with God becomes the chosen retreat in the emotional and spiritual tumult. And like the disciples, love one another through the betrayal of relationships when an heir's financial aspirations take precedence over the dying one's final inhalations. Now, not all of the interactions, these difficult moments, are held in love during my hospice visits. However, when these vignettes of love one another show themselves in my visits, it is breathtaking. And I want to share a story of a former patient, Mark, who embodied love one another. When Mark started receiving hospice services, he declined chaplain visits. He had had some negative experiences of church in his background, and he pretty much distanced himself from much of organized religion. And after a few months, he started actively dying, and he moved into a care facility. Mark changed his mind, and he asked that I come for a conversation. When I met him, Mark was in a recliner, covered in blankets, looking out a window at nothing in particular. And after introducing myself, I started the conversation, as I often do, by asking if they had any background, if spiritual or religious backgrounds, or what brought meaning to their life. And at first he didn't say much. So I tried a couple of other questions about maybe moments of joy or wonder that he had in life. Still not much. So I finally just bluntly asked him, how do you hope to be remembered? Or if he designated any of his estate to something that he really felt strongly about. And he quietly said, yeah, scholarships. So as we continued talking, he disclosed that he had just written his will up a month earlier. And he set aside one-third of his estate for scholarships for students at historically black colleges and universities. I was really intrigued by this. And I asked him if he would be willing to tell me more about that decision. And then his eyes lit up, and he became animated. And he explained to me that 40 years earlier, out of curiosity, he decided to take an Afro-American studies class in college. And he was one of only two white people in that history class. But he loved it so much that he took a few more Afro-American studies classes while he was working towards a forestry degree. And I have to say, the other students in his classes must have understood, love one another, because they took him under wing and they opened up this whole new world to him in history, authors, poetry, music, food, artists. And he shared about a lot of those. And then he became quiet. And he looked down. And after some time had passed, he looked at me with tears in his eyes and he said, those classes, those professors, and those students who became my friends, they completely changed my life. I learned to think about others and the world in a totally different way, an inclusive way, a beautiful way. And his voice cracked and he just said, I'm just so grateful. Before I left, Mark dictated a message for the scholarship recipients that I would type up for him for our next visit so that he would be able to pass that on along with the scholarship money. Less than a week later, I stopped by to see Mark. This time he was in bed, unresponsive, with his eyes open. And when I go into those situations, I always assume that patients can hear and understand. And so I reintroduced myself, and I read the message that he had dictated, and I put it in front of his eyes to see, and his eyes started moving as if they were reading. And then I told him that I was trying to track down his professor at the college to let him know how much he had changed Mark's life, and that in turn, because of that, Mark was trying to change the lives of others. And a few moments later, Mark peacefully took his final breath. So I think about what Jesus said to Peter, you do not know what I am doing, but later you will understand. There was no doubt in my mind that Mark, 40 years after signing up for his class from curiosity, understood, love one another, and he lived it fully to the very end of his breathing. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Because Mark shared his understanding of love one another with me, I have been given greater understanding of the reciprocity of love, loving and being loved, in the commandment of love one another, through life and into death. Tonight we're invited into the reciprocity of foot washing, started by Jesus, handed down from the disciples through generations of our ancestors in the faith, to us, to here. And even if we accept the invitation out of curiosity, or maybe that we don't know what Jesus is doing now, it's okay. Because those are enough to enter fully in to love one another. Because we can hold on to the promise that later we will understand. Amen.